Welcome, great patriotic friends, to September 11th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and today I'm not going to talk about sports or entertainment. I'm not going to talk about Billy the Kid or the Civil War. I'm going to talk about September 11th in American history. But before I do, let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up and face the flags and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. So now, in the words of 9/11 hero Todd Beamer, let's roll. 2001. Last year when I was doing this show, I went on a big rant about the so-called religion of peace, talking about all the Muslim-related killings of Americans in the name of Allah throughout the years. The list was quite extensive. I decided I don't want to do that again this year. It doesn't make for a very constructive conversation. 9/11 is a horrible story, and difficult for me as it is just to get through it. When I saw and heard the children and spouses late in the day asking fire chiefs if they were able to save their fathers or mothers or loved ones, I can hardly sit through it without getting sick. The horror unleashed on America that day was one that history had never seen. Osama bin Laden credited himself with the attacks as he financed al-Qaeda to seek revenge against America due to America's military involvement in the Middle East and support for Israel. Some of the attackers took flying lessons in aviation schools throughout America. On September 11th, 19 al-Qaeda hijackers got past security with box cutters and knives, which would be used as weapons against the pilots of the aircrafts that they would take over. At 8:45 on a clear day, American Airlines Flight 767 with a tank full of 20,000 gallons of fuel scheduled for California slammed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center near the 80th floor. Television crews were instantly on the scene, of course, and as it was filming the result of what appeared to be a freak accident, less than 20 minutes after the crash, United Airlines Flight 175 flew into the South Tower. I, along with just about every other American, watched in anguish as the towers burned. At the same time, American Airlines Flight 77 hit the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, in New York, the World Trade Center building collapsed to the ground in a fiery blaze of smoke and debris. The result of this al-Qaeda attack led to over 3,000 American deaths, 10,000 wounded, and hundreds of fire police and Port Authority officers killed. As vile as I find this whole story, another one almost as bad has surfaced as a result of the attacks. The conspiracy theories. Many of you know how I feel about them, but in this case, they're just not funny and need to be debunked once and for all. Let's start with the falling of the Twin Towers. Professor Stephen Jones takes issue in which the way the building collapsed and believes they were blown up by planned demolition. So let me explain that. The reason they collapsed the way they did was mostly due to the construction of the buildings. Since this is an audio show, I cannot show you diagrams or pictures of how this happened, so bear with me. If you believe Jones, try this experiment. Find a building at least 40 stories high, taking up a whole city block, has a tube-in-a-tube design, came off its core column at the bottom floor, used trestles, bolted on with 2 5/8-inch bolts, and fly a fully fueled airplane into it. Let it burn for a little while and see what happens. Talk to a civil engineer for help. The other conspiracy for destroying the towers was to get paid out by the insurance company. Oh, please. So, Jones, you mean to tell me that the Silverstein Group had to pay out over $2 billion after the World Trade Center was destroyed? The insurance company just wanted to pass the bill to the public, right? Even though that they've already fought Silverstein on the amount? Seems like that would have been a good time to bring up the conspiracy. But here's the thing. There was no conspiracy. If there was, there would have been a leak somewhere. Look, the reason why smaller scandals like Enron, Iran-Contra affair, Watergate, etc., is because somebody blew the whistle. The amount of people involved in those scandals were a fraction of the ones that would have to have been involved in sabotage and terrorist attacks for the purpose of starting a war or two. So knock it off that insurance nonsense, conspiracy theorists. You're telling me that United Airlines and American Airlines want to lose their reputation and money over an insurance scandal? or a plot to start a war with the Middle East, then why use a plane at all? In fact, why pick Osama bin Laden to be the fall guy instead of Saddam Hussein? So you mean Bush, who couldn't do anything right in the eyes of many conspiracy theorists, managed to pull off the greatest scandal in world history? You mean that there have been investigations with no proof of a scandal? All right, let's talk about the Pentagon. Why, even the most seasoned pilot wouldn't have been able to hit a building that low to the ground at that speed, let alone an amateur pilot, right? Wrong. This can be explained using aerodynamics. You need to understand the concept of upwash and downwash created by trailing vortices and the effect of downwash in decreasing lift and drag. What you also need to realize about ground effect is that when a plane is heading quickly towards the ground, there is no bubble or cushion to push it upwards. Landing a plane recklessly, as any pilot would tell you, is much easier than safely landing one on a runway. And the other conspiracy about the Pentagon is that the crash didn't leave a hole big enough. Conspiracy theorists base this on a single piece of footage used. All I can say about that is that I'd like to see a conspiracy theorist share this knowledge with some of my friends and co-workers and high-ranking officers who were actually at the Pentagon and saw it firsthand. Stop it already. Conspiracy theorists, my friends and co-workers at the Pentagon will knock down your story faster than your ego. I'd like to see that. Next, let's talk about the 28 missing pages. According to 28pages.org, the 28 pages detailed a vast array of connections between the 9/11 hijackers, individuals who supported them while they were in the United States, employees of the Saudi Arabian government, and Saudi royals, most notably then Saudi ambassador to the United States, Prince Bandar bin Sultan. Bandar was also a close confidant of President George W. Bush, who classified the pages in 2003. So then that means that this whole thing was set up by Bush, right? Paul Thompson went on for hours about this, and we were lied to about 9/11. Our would-be friends in Saudi Arabia plotted to kill us, right? Who knew what and when and why wasn't something done about it? Then I get confused. Wait, are we talking about what Bush should have known about terrorist attacks on 9/11-2001? Or are we talking about what Hillary should have known about terrorist attacks on 9/11 in 2012 in Benghazi, when Egypt was supposed to be our friend? I'm not trying to change the subject, dance around the issue, point fingers, compare the deaths of four soldiers, God rest their souls, and the 3,000 plus who died in 2001, God rest their souls, and I'm definitely not trying to get political here. But this is how politics work between the U.S. and the rest of the world. And that's a conspiracy for another time. So I think I've covered the conspiracies best I can in a 5-minute show. The rest of the conspiracies are so ridiculous, they're just an insult to the loved ones, to the thousands of people who died. So keep that in mind, conspiracy theorists. Of course, you have the right in America to say what's on your mind, but at this point, you're just insulting the friends and family of the 3,000 plus who died on this day in 2001. Not to mention the 125 military members and civilians in the Pentagon, or the 64 people on Flight 77, or the 343 firefighters and paramedics, 23 New York Police Department officers, 37 Port Authority police officers, 45 passengers on Flight 93, etc., etc. Think about it, conspiracy theorists. If there was a conspiracy, don't you think these people's friends and families would demand justice? Do you think flight attendant Sandy Bradshaw's husband, who last heard his wife say to him when she slipped into a galley and was filling pitchers with boiling water, saying, quote, "Everyone's running to first class. I've got to go. Bye." Unquote. Or what about Lisa Beamer, Todd's wife? The last thing she heard him say as he was hanging up the phone was, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll," as they went after the hijackers and crashed in Pennsylvania. There were investigations. No legitimate conspiracies. If there was a tiny one, wouldn't these people dedicate their lives to uncovering the truth? Lisa Beamer wrote a book on how much of a hero her husband was. Conspiracy theorists, what goes through your mind as you watch video clips of the horror unfolding in New York City when children have to ask the fire chief if their fathers and mothers were found? They can't even get the names out. So, conspiracy theorists, have some manners and try some common sense and dignity. Knock it off. And remember, we will never forget. So that's all I got for 9/11 on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. You've heard my take on it. Now let's hear yours. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what your thoughts are. Don't miss tomorrow's episode. A little bit more of a pleasant tone. I'll talk about Hopalong Cassidy, the rotating printing press, and then I'll get into Civil War news with the Battle of Lexington. Until then, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for listening, everyone. Get involved in the comment board. Thanks for your participation. And thanks for being great patriotic Americans. I'll see you tomorrow.